There is a revelation of the four kingdoms to Daniel. And all those kingdoms were big world empires. And there was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. There was the Medo-Persian kingdom. And there was the Greek empire followed by the Roman Empire. So there were four great empires revealed in the book of Daniel chapter 7. And notice in verse 17, it summarizes, these great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth, four great empires. And they are all passed behind us. In verse 18, look at what happened at the close of the age. We will see a temporary restoration of the revised Roman Empire in some form, in a form that we today call the Ten Toes. The Ten Toes. So we will see some sort of restoration of the Ten Toes, which form part of this four kingdoms. But the fact is that there will be a restoration of the saints of God about that time that we must not miss. In verse 16, verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now there are two places, or rather three, if you look at it from our perspective. There is one restoration of the saints before the rapture. There is a restoration of the saints during the reign of the Antichrist through the 144,000, and there is the completed one when Jesus comes and on this earth and is forever and ever. Now let's look at the aspect from the church perspective in terms of this, which it does cover. And we see here in verse, looking here that at verse 27, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. When you look at these verses, remember the sure mercies of David. His kingdom shall be an eternal kingdom, fulfilled in Christ. Now let's look over also at the book of Daniel, chapter 12. The book of Daniel, chapter 12. Verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Now this one has particular reference in the tribulation years. And there shall be a time of trouble, there's a time of trouble, and as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, at that time your people shall be delivered. Talking about the coming of the Lord, they will come and deliver the people. Now, cross reference to the New Testament, we have established the fact that there will be a permanent restoration when the saints possess the kingdom. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15 and look at it from the church perspective, at the spiritual possession that takes place. 1 Corinthians 15. Now all this has nothing to do with the nation of Israel anymore. It has reference to the church. Whereas the prophecies we read in Daniel have a manifold interpretation to the nation of Israel, to the coming of Christ on the planet Earth, to the church. So it has many interpretations. But when you touch on 1 Corinthians 15, it's entirely the church. 1 Corinthians 15 says here in verse 25, verse 24. Onwards, let's read verse 24. Then comes the end. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Now, that particularly refers to the coming of Jesus on the planet Earth and then the millennial rule. But we know that Ephesians 1 speaks about the church, and we are part of his body, and everything coming under the feet of Jesus now in the church age. So there is an aspect spiritually of that taking place today. And let's read on. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, here's the practical aspect. When he says that all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Just have one quick look at the book of Ephesians before we look at Hebrews. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And this is in the church age, not in the millennial age. So from there we know that there is some sort of fulfillment in the church age, at the glorious church. Although the ultimate fulfillment we'll see in the millennial age. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That means it's the church to exercise their power and authority. When Jesus Christ coming draws near, we will see the glorious church. And all this ties up to the mercies of David. Eschatological interpretation for the church. One more scripture, Hebrews. Then to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It says in verse 27. Let's read verse 26 to get the whole context. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. Yet once more I shake, not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, now this is the church, therefore, since we, is it present tense? Everyone say, we are. Not we shall be, but since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. We are receiving a kingdom. We are receiving dominion. And I could see in my spirit, as we draw near to Jesus Christ coming, we will see the fullness of the atonement of Jesus. Not I could see it in the eyes of my spirit. I mean, not a single sick person in the church. Some of you are thinking, is it possible? You know how many billion people there are? Wait a minute, have you forgotten the Old Testament when they came out of the land of Egypt? The book of Psalms says there was not a single weak one or sick one among them. Neither did their shoes wear out. He can do that for about 2-3 million people down there in the Old Testament with Old Testament measure of power. How much more can he do it with a full measure in a new covenant? We are not going to go out. Some sick, some lame, some dying, some on stretchers. No! The church is going to go gloriously Amen. To the Lord. When God sounds the trumpet and says, ta-ra-ra-ta, the church is going to march in triumphantly. Ta-ta-ta-ta. We are not going to crawl home and, you know, and Jesus, the bridegroom, is expecting the church. He's dressed in His glory to receive us. And the trumpet sounds, the music plays, and the church comes in its filthy rags. And we go, dun, 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 dun. And we're hiding ourselves, skimpy. And part of the church is sick, dying. Church comes on a stretcher. And, you know, some of us are half dead, and the others are carrying, some injured, you know, wounds all over. And we are marching in. Now God wants a glorious church. And there's going to take place a last day revival that there will be. And I could see, for God has given authority over sicknesses and diseases to the church. We have not made use of that authority. He said, but if God has given to us, shouldn't it take place automatically? No. Remember, in the New Testament, God gave authority and power over sicknesses and diseases and over every demon that is found in Luke 9 verse 1, Matthew 10 verse 1 to all His 12 disciples, and they could not cast out the demon in the next few chapters when they came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. You find the story there. In that very same passage, sometime later, after He has given them authority over demons, which include the demon in that boy, and they could not, because they did not know how to tap on what was given. God has given authority over every sickness and over every disease. And we may think in our heart, oh, with our modern invention, we have fought all sicknesses, we have overcome it. Wait. Sicknesses and diseases will always be present, because we are living in an imperfect will, in imperfect world that is dominated by satanic forces, that is dominated by sin. And where sin is there, sickness will be there. We say without condemnation in any way, but let's take some example of modern sicknesses. Legionnaire's disease or sickness, which is almost like a flu kind of thing and causing high fever, some people have died over that, is caused by a simple virus that normally never harms human beings, never spreads, but with the modernization of man and invention of air conditioners, that virus breeds in air conditioner or air conditioned ducts, and so it spreads, which never before in previous civilization. The problem of AIDS, maybe it was the virus was dormant all the time, right? We know that a lot of innocent people have it, but its spread was due to sexual permissiveness. It's not just the homosexual, but because people do not have one man, one wife, so they spread. People have multiple sexual partners. So the modern lifestyle helped to spread the sickness and disease. And to point to the fact, no matter how modern men become, as long as our lifestyle is not in line with the Word, there will be always new sickness and disease that come up. And we still need prayer and the Word. Do our best with medicine and science. Go for it. If you're training for doctor or scientist, go for it. But remember, man is finite. We need the Almighty, His wisdom and His help. And to the church, God has given the authority to pray over sicknesses and diseases. And the church has lost that. So I can see other areas that the Lord has given to the church: redemption from the curse of the law. All these many areas that the church will reach into its fullness in God. That's the blessing that we're going to see. All these have to do with the restoration of the sure mercies of David. And as we look at the second epistle of John, we realize that now he's writing to the elect lady. That elect lady represents us. And he's wanting all the children to walk in the way. All the children of the elect lady, and the elect lady